Ed Grimsley has been seeing battles between unknown craft in the night sky since he was a teenager. And since then, he has continued seeing what appear to be delta-shaped and saucer-shaped craft in space, shooting it out using what appears to be laser weapons. He has seen hundreds of these objects recently using his 5 military-grade night vision binoculars. He has invited many people, including myself and producer Tom Danheiser, to come to these various areas to view the objects in Earth space shooting it out. I have witnessed two of them. Using the night vision glasses, even skeptics who thought that he might have been seeing things have now been convinced that Ed Grimsley is seeing something very unusual. In a moment on Coast to Coast AM, Ed Grimsley, UFO Wars on Coast to Coast AM. What you're about to hear tonight could very well be one of the most riveting stories you have heard in a very long time. Ed Grimsley sees battles between unidentified flying objects in the skies using his military-grade night vision binoculars. Ed says the craft seem to be fighting with the use of laser weapons. Many skeptics who believed Ed was merely seeing things are becoming believers after spending time viewing the skies with Ed. He's with us for a full program tonight on Coast to Coast, Ed Grimsley. Ed, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, George.
Good. And I wanted to thank you for coming on the program at this late notice too, Ed. I really appreciate it.
It's my honor. I have a lot of respect for your show, and it does things that is trying to get the truth out to the people, and it's all about the truth.
I'm going to tell you a story, Ed. I'm going to tell you a story about you. You know, over the years, you and I have run into each other at conferences all around the country. And, you know, I didn't know who you were, really, you know, other than you were Ed Grimsley, and there's a guy who had a bag full of binoculars.
And yeah, I was the bad guy.
Yeah, you know, and Tom and I would go out, and we'd have our lunches and dinners. We'd run into Ed Grimsley. You were at every conference. You were always there. You're devoted into this field. And, you know, so I started asking around, and I'm saying, you know, who is this guy? He's a nice guy, but what does he do? And then one night at a meet and greet, you stood up and you said, I've got these night vision goggles, and I have been watching UFOs fighting in the skies. And I went to myself, whoa, I got to hear a little bit more about this guy. And the more we talked over the various conferences that we would meet at, the more I really was interested in seeing this. So finally, last year, we had an opportunity to run into each other at a conference, and you were holding one of your events on the top of a hotel. And somebody came down and said, Mr. Grimsley would like you to see what they're all looking at up here. And I said, all right, now's my time. Now, keep in mind, I've never seen a UFO ever in my life until that night. And then we went upstairs, and you had a couple night vision goggles in the third generation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you showed me what to look at in the night sky. And this for folks who look into the sky, you can see some stars, you know, especially if you live in a city, you'll see more if you live in the country. But I've got to tell you, when you look at the night sky with night vision goggles, you see more stars than you can ever imagine or count. And what Ed then did is something truly remarkable. He said, George, you got to look in this area. And so I did. And keep in mind, you've got these binoculars that are looking into the night sky, and everything is green, right? You've seen pictures of these. And all of a sudden, I start seeing some objects moving. Not satellites, because satellites go from one direction to the next. They don't change direction. You know, they don't zigzag. I saw an object zigzag, and then I saw another one zigzag. And Ed, you were as cool as anybody's ever been. You said, told you so. But people who were up there were absolutely taken back. What's going on up there, Ed?
Well, I believe that this activity has been going on probably since the Earth was built. Maybe they've been there for a long time. They may even be part of our creation or part of the tools that keeps us running. There's definitely got to be a good side and a bad side, so I don't know if it's good against evil I don't know if it's God against the Satan or whatever, but there is definitely some flying against each other out there, and there's a numerous type of craft, and these are real. They're not something that gets made up and hung on a string and then photographed. I mean, because these things are doing thousands of miles an hour across the sky.
And how high up do you think they are at? Because, you know, that was a big discussion that night. We're trying to figure out how high these objects were. What did you estimate at that time?
Well, I estimated that the one that I showed you with a laser that was flying along, and you asked, is it a satellite? And I said, no, because it keeps changing its speed and its course.
Right.
And I said, look, it's slowing up. Good, good. It's going to stop. And then you said, where'd it go? And
yeah.
I pointed the laser and said, there it is,
there
right
it is.
There. And you said, is that a star? And I said, no, it's faking to be a star. But watch it. Keep an eye. And I marked two stars with the laser near it.
Yeah.
And I said, there it is, right down between that. And you remember this because it'll take off and leave. And when it does, then you're going to realize it and probably watch it go. But you had handed the glasses off to Tommy or somebody
yeah.
else, and by the time I looked at it again and it's checked, it started to leave, and I said, here, it's leaving, and you didn't get a glasses back in time to see the actual leaving of it. But when you did look, I marked the two stars for you again, and it was gone. And that activity, that happens all the time. There is all kinds of things out there that pull up and stop, or they'll start out from nowhere and start moving.
Are we thinking, though, what, 50 miles up, 100 miles up,
no,
200?
No, that would be out in space, that one. And I would say that from just experience of watching them, I'm going to guess it was about 200 miles.
200 miles. Now, what? I know some of these questions are speculative for you, but...
That's true, but you can stand on the freeway and watch cars go by, and you can say, how fast is that one going?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
well,
so...
what kind is that one?
So up, you estimate...
You've got to use judgment.
Absolutely. How big do you think those two objects were that I was looking at?
Well, the objects that that you looked at, I believe, were Delta, but, you know, at that time, I had handed my glasses off. And then you saw and said, there it is, there it is. And when I got the glasses back, I could see the ghost-like disappearance of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that it resembled what I call deltas. That looks something like a Concorde-type jet with one fin stabilizer up there and can just haul thousands of miles an hour. And I believe that they was probably between 80 and 100 miles up. Because I think they function their best right at the edge of the atmosphere and space. And when you see one of those, if you see it on one side of the sky and follow it quickly, it'll zigzag and pass and maneuver and be gone in 5 to 7 seconds.
Yeah, I had never seen anything move that fast. And these weren't meteorites, by the way. I mean, this meteorites just go whoosh, and they're gone.
Yeah, and they light up and give you a good appearance.
These things went at a nice fast clip, and then they made a 90-degree turn, then they came back, then they stopped, then they went again. I don't know what they are, Ed, whether they're man-made or ETs or what, but I'm telling you, there was something going on up there. There's craft going on.
What they were was definitely your opportunity to realize that we're not alone.
No. Now, let's...
And whoever has got those is sharing that technology.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the technology that you use and explain that laser that you were holding up that you used to help point out where this little star, which became an object, was up there for us. You've got a laser that you take with you. What do you use that for and how?
I had been buying these cheap lasers for $8, $10 at gas stations and things that are red. And they will show up, but only if somebody's standing pretty close to you and they're hard to see with naked eye. But with the glasses, you can see them better. And I've been buying those, and it's just a simple way of pointing out what you're looking at.
I'm kind of like watching the line, right?
Yeah, people can find it easier. You just follow the line, and up you go. Now, sometimes when we lose them or they walk away after a big meeting or something, I have like a friend, Bob and Kathy, that come over from Santa Rosa, and they watch all the time. Well, he brings a small halogen flashlight, and as long as your beam is kind of picking up and going out there with a little flashlight, it helps. And but now I've got green lasers, and Radio Shack has one. I don't know. Should they pay us extra for this advertising?
Yeah, they should, for you, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
At least.
Yeah, they could send me some free lasers. It'd be fine. And then on the computer, a friend of mine ordered some extras and got me some, and they're like $17, and they're 30 amp or 30 whatever they are, and there's some 50s. So now I'm taking them and attaching them to each one of the glasses.
Ah, okay.
String, and then, you know, and then hopefully they don't keep disappearing after people come, you know.
Tell me about the third generation glasses, and there's a fourth generation coming out. Will that make a big difference?
Well, the fourth generation from my friend Michael that's in San Francisco that has the night vision company, and I trust a lot of his judgment because he really has knowledge and has been helping me out a lot. He says that in theory, there is not really a fourth generation. It's kind of a hyped up third generation or enhanced. And there are some other things, but they're not available yet to the public. And the leery thing about the whole deal is that we can only get certain grade night vision in this country. You can't ship it out of that country.
I didn't know that.
And they will give you 7 years in federal prison for it. And I have massive people want me to go to other countries and put on a skywatch there, but the government will not let me exit with these glasses to show them.
Well, these are military grade, right?
Yeah, they're military grade, but still the technology is like law enforcement offices and stuff use it. And our citizens are able to get them.
When we see movies of soldiers or police officers going into a house totally dark, but you can see the green of their vision, right? You can see like how the soldier, because you see the tip of his rifle, for example, his gun. Is that the kind of goggles we're talking about? The kind of binoculars?
Very similar. Okay. You see it in Iraq a lot, like the guy's there and has his glasses up on his helmet, or he's holding them in his hand, and that they're called PVS-7s, military industrial grade.
How do they work, Ed?
Well, basically, they're focusing and eliminating the light, and they used to call them a starlight scope, and now it's changed, and it's not basically infrared. It's a process of collecting the light at different ranges and do that. Some night, I'd like to get Michael, who owns this company, and give him 15 minutes on your show, and I'm going to tell you, he could enlighten the world. This guy's a genius, you know.
Enlighten the world? That wasn't a pun, was it?
Well, let me put it this way. The government is now making attempts. I don't know what it's going to be like after Obama, because there was AB, and then there's Obama.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say that if the government's secret programs and stuff had their way, they want to keep the citizens in the dark.
Literally.
And these glasses puts the light on the darkness.
Oh no, I'm a believer in this. You know, I'm the not the skeptic, but I go into these things, as you know, Ed, cautiously. I want the answers. I want the truth. I have never seen UFOs. I've talked about that on this program. And sure enough, when I was out there with you up on that roof, I saw two things I cannot explain. And to me then, that's the definition of a UFO.
Well, actually, you saw three, because that one that flew along speeded up, uh-huh. slowed up, stopped, and then took off and left. That was your first one, and that was a different type vehicle. The other two were different UFOs.
Ah.
And so you've got
I thought it was two. The second one I thought was the same. So you're saying I had three that I was looking at.
Yeah, the other two that you saw was when you were holding the glasses on your own and I was trying to show everybody stuff.
Right.
And the first one that I showed you, I was telling you, this is how you look, and I go, whoa, there's one right now. And I pointed the laser, you followed up, looked at it, and was tracking it, and then it started to slow up, and then it stopped. And you said, where did it go?
Yeah.
That was your first one. And then you saw two more after that that were the Delta type.
What's so remarkable about this, Ed, is that when you look at these, when you look at the sky through these, they're everywhere. I mean, it's not like you got to sit there for 10 years and maybe you'll see one. I mean, they're there almost every time you go out and look.
Well, I know George Knapp, whatever. He, at the one conference you were there, you kind of stood up and took my side. But we had said, or Bob Oliver from the radio station Quantum Leap in Monterey, mm-hmm. he's been out with me a lot, and he's getting pretty sharp at finding them. And he, every time I'd go out, I would find some for somebody. And the only thing it wouldn't be is if it was clouded over or rainy or the fog came in or that kind of thing. And there's so many different types.
Absolutely.
And
by the way, nice job. Jose Escamilla put together a incredible video with you called UFO Wars. And I want to talk about the shootout after the break here, Ed. But there is something going on up there, you know, and I don't know what it is, but we'll find out from you on why you believe that it's a extraterrestrial war. I wonder, do you think that our astronauts, when they go up in the shuttle, they see these two?
Yes, I think that they're sworn to secrecy, and one of the things that you found out in the past, or people have talked about, and even gave me information, because I'm taking their word for it, but many astronauts are members of the Freemasons and different elite clubs. And so I think that they are probably sworn to secrecy. I think that we have a great fleet of military craft that belong to the world and is maybe managed by the U.S. government or the secret part of the government. And, you know, I've got to tell you that we are losing and others are losing. And the men that are flying those need to be recognized. There's people out there that are really brave and they're flying out into space and they're guarding our world. They're flying out beyond that and they're losing their lives. And not getting any recognition, they're not getting notarized for what their bravery is. I mean, how many people would want to fly out into space knowing that you may be lasered into a little piece of dust and never see your family or see Earth again? And those people need to have recognition. They need credit. I mean, when you talk about heroes and bravery, how about we strap you in an aircraft like that and send you out a million miles into space, and it's all being kept secret?
And what percent of these UFOs that we see do you think may be man-made?
Well, man-made, I think there's humanoids all over the galaxy. And I don't know which ones are peaceful and friendly or which ones want to take us over or which ones want to protect us. So I think that the good bulk of what I'm seeing now on patrol and circulating around the globe all the time is man-made, and I think our secret program has been producing them very heavily.
All right, let's find out what's going on. Your opinion when we come back, Ed Grimsley. Hey, for just pennies a day, you can get Streamlink podcast downloads of past programs. That will expand, by the way, just a neat combination of coast to coast. You can subscribe to StreamLink by going to coasttocoastam.com and just click the link there for StreamLink. And also, those of you who haven't signed up yet for the free Coast Zone newsletter, it's an e-newsletter. Take advantage of that, too, by also going to coasttocoastam.com. Register for that, and that's delivered to your computer doorstep every morning. Ed, tell me about how you began to think about the UFO wars. What did you start seeing up there?
The first thing that that I saw about battling wasn't the first time I saw a craft. I saw a craft first when I was 10, 12 years old on Mount San Helena above Calistoga in the Napa Valley. And they appeared and seemed friendly, and when I waved, one wobbled back, and then away they went. But in 1961, in the Sierras, on a Thursday night before deer season, we were in a hunting camp getting things ready. Went to sleep, stretched, looked up in my sleeping bag, and there they were, like crystals flying around up there, massive amounts of them, and they were firing on each other, and they were circling and chasing. It was a crystal clear night. Everything was so beautiful. And there was a war going on, and I'm going, oh, my God. So I woke everybody up in the camp, and they watched for an hour and a half or so. And I stayed up until daylight the next morning, watching it all through the night, and realized that, is this aliens fighting against other aliens, or is it Earth fighting to keep other aliens out? Or is it being done with protection, or is it a religious thing? Is this the Battle of Armageddon? Is there one angel against another angel kind of thing? And does angels not have wings? Instead, they have spacecraft, and that's our guardian angels out there protecting us. Well, I didn't know. And at 16 years old, I thought, wow, this is so great. And when I told my friends, I got laughed at and, you know, really, really put up with a lot. In fact, I had a couple of fights over it, but...
Did you win them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've only lost one fight out of 89, and I didn't know I was going to have it.
Oh, that's when producer Tom popped you at the event.
Yeah.
You went right there.
He Sunday punched me.
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't even Sunday.
We're only kidding. Tom is not a fighter. Yeah. He's a lover.
No, Tom's not mean.
No, not at all. Anyway.
He might be cruel, but he's not mean.
So you're looking at these things at that age. Eventually, though, you get to the night vision goggles, and you're starting to see some very strange things.
Right. I never knew what was going on, and I never saw that battle again, even the next night. And we had told the military about it and kind of got shot down and went into Reno the next day and did it. And then I was 18 years old, and I had a bad experience because I used to shoot high-quality target with heavy bench rest and limited rifles.
Okay.
And a man showed up at one of my shoots and basically wanted to recruit me to be a shooter for the dark ops.
Really?
No,
I never knew this.
No, I don't tell it very much, but I can tell parts of the story, and I probably won't get shot for it. But anyway, they wanted me to work for them, and there's a lot more to it. And after watching me shoot and watching my scores, because in this competition, you try to shoot a five-shot group.
Were you going to be an assassin, Ed?
They wanted me to be.
I can't see you as that.
No. If I can't eat it, I don't want to shoot it.
No, I understand. As long as it's not roadkill, right?
Not roadkill. But the way I drive, it could happen. But anyway, that situation, we talked, and I never went for the job. And the sponsor who was my shooter, and that was a man who had developed different guns, like the 220 Swift, the 218B, and worked on the 222 Wildcat.
Okay, sure.
These are all different high-quality guns. They changed it to the 223 and used it as the military, like the M14 and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
M15s. But anyway, I got a scary reality came in at 18 years old, and that was in 1963. So there could be some connection there.
Yeah.
I really think that to talk about it much or who it was that talked to me and that would put all around me in jeopardy.
Well, what compelled you to start looking with night vision goggles? Well, I mean, something must have
I knew about that battle, and I knew it was true, and that what I saw wasn't a dream, and at 16, I wasn't drinking. Nothing strong, anyway.
Right.
And so I wanted to see them if I could find them again. And I also like outdoors and wildlife and spend half my time in the woods or, you know, hiking and trying to photograph a bear or you know, sneak up on a mountain lion and do some, you know, the things that most crazy kids would do living in the country. And I bought a pair at the gun show in Reno that was $3,900, and that was in 97. I had sold some property and had a little money in my hand, and so I bought that pair, and I figured I could see those. And if I couldn't see those, I could see animals and go motorbike riding out through the country roads looking with your night vision glasses.
But you bought them specifically to look up into the skies.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I bought them. That was my main goal.
All right.
But I could also use them for other things. And on my way home that night, going from Reno up over Downer Summit, the highway, I think it's Highway 80, and I stopped up at the top of the summit and got the glasses out and started focusing on stars and that. And here comes one flying through down low. And I'm going, whoa. And this thing was maybe a mile above me, if at that. And then here's two, one chasing the other one, flying way up high, probably around 100 miles or 150 miles up. And they're two different shapes. And one is firing back. And you could see the beam firing back. And the other one's firing forward. And they fired a couple of times at each other. And the one from behind hit the one in front and just blew
the living daylights out of it, right?
Yeah, the living daylights out of it.
That's safer.
And it basically, I mean, it just blew that thing like a dynamite going off in the dark or fireworks, you know.
It's got to be a physical thing up there, Ed. I mean, they've got to be physical objects, don't you think?
Oh, they're definitely. It's not a image or an entity coming from space, appearing and disappearing, and that it's the real deal, you know. And let me put it this way: as a kid, I started out running the wing and taking flying lessons on sailplanes in Calistoga. So I flew gliders.
Okay.
And then I also flew fixed-wing airplane and a little bit of tail dragger and a little bit of nose gear.
So you know what you're talking about.
And I've flown helicopters. So, you know, I haven't flown any spacecraft yet, but damn, if I could get a chance.
You never know. They may come down and pick you up, Ed Grimsley.
They may give me a flying lesson, huh?
Speaking of that, that's your website, edgrimsley.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So when this is happening and you're watching this and you're witnessing these battles, one, I don't think they could be man-made shooting extraterrestrials. They could be man-made to man-made, because I think we would get obliterated if we attack them, don't you?
Well, I think so, but I think there's some that have come from a long way. And they may be trying to get into Earth, and there are others that are already here stopping them. That's one scenario there.
E.T. stopping them or
yeah,
humans?
E.T. to E.T.
Okay.
And I think that maybe there's an intensity going on, and I think E.T. or humanoid-like beings that are on our side or part of our heritage are standing up for us and protecting us, and they're kind of guarding the nest. And I think we've been given more technology, and we're building a lot of craft that are able to stand up and do it.
You know how we've seen some of these large triangular-shaped objects, and we don't know exactly what or where they are. Could these be some of the objects that we're looking at up there?
There's some large triangle-shaped ships. There's some large disc-shaped ships. There's smaller ones that look like a silver football. There's one that looks like a V, and it's all around the outside of it, and it has a triangle shape to it, and it looks like what you would rack a pool table with, a little thing you put the balls inside,
yes.
And it's like
that's
that.
Right.
And I've actually seen that be flying with one point going really fast in one direction, and all of a sudden the other point takes off, kind of moves a little bit, and it's going out that way. So every one of those points can be a lead. And that's a little strange. I don't think we made that one, or if we did, we're copying somebody else's model of it.
Good point.
And there's a Joanne Richardson that's on my movie. And, I mean, I do a Cobby interview. I mean, it was the first time I put anybody on camera and myself. But Joanne holds it together pretty good, and she tells about her husband, who is in prison now, and he's serving, like, 25 years of a life sentence, and he tried to quit. And I guess it's like the mafia. You don't just tell him you're no longer going to fly, you know. But in turn, his partner or a friend of his got killed, stabbed with a screwdriver or something. He was nowhere around, but then they said, well, he hired it or something along that lines. And so the man's been sitting in prison, and he does not tell about the program that's going on. But his father flew for the International Space Program. He flew for them for a while. Could talk about that, but he's sworn to with the United States program. And so, I mean, you know, if he talked, they could kill him or do whatever. But what's worse than probably being in prison all your life, I really would like to talk to Obama and get him some truth. And show him some of the film that I have, this surreal thing, and it's just not any makeup. And I'd like him to maybe work on pardoning Mark and get her husband out. And I don't know what would happen. I don't think he can talk about a lot of stuff. But there's one man who is in his 70s that does not want his name out or even near where he lives. But he swears to me that he's flown back-engineered spacecraft.
Jeez.
And has been in battles in deep space, and he was in a battle over China some years back where there was a lot of craft trying to come in.
So we're trying to keep them out then, some of them.
Well, to the best of the information I'm getting from people that do not want to be exposed, that have inside information, they're telling me, get this out there. Tell the people the truth. And if they believe you, they believe you. But at least it's going to get out there. And so, you know, I've kind of done that. And my thing is that for a long time I've known that there was UFOs and spacecraft of different origins. And saw a lot of battles. And I finally got to the point where when I was a kid, it bothered me if somebody said, oh, you're nuts or whatever, you know, and get in an argument. Now, if somebody says, you're nuts, there's no aliens, there's no spacecraft or whatever, I laugh at them. I says, great. You don't think so? That's fine. I'm so proud of you to have your opinion. And I say, you're nuts. Get some help.
Take them outside and just show them what you showed me.
Yeah, well, you can, but, you know, a lot of people will talk crap. And they won't give you a chance to back yours up.
I got to tell you, there was a guy out there who was very skeptical, and you shut him right down when you gave him the glasses and he started looking. He didn't know what to say.
Yeah. And that guy was saying, you're crazy. He says, there's nothing out there. And, you know, what are you looking at, birds and bats? And I says, no. A bird looks like this. A bat looks like that. A moth looks like that. And an airplane, and I showed him those different things. But while I was showing him what different things look like, two of them came by, and I said, there. And he held the glass up, and he looked, and he goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then one crossed and went across the other one, and then took off out in a direction. The other one broke right and went out in the other direction. And these are 120 to 150 miles up, and they're spacecraft.
And let me ask you this. If we, as human beings, are up there trying to defend the planet from some extraterrestrials, some are friendly, some aren't, and we're engaged in a battle with them, why don't they tell us? I mean, do they think we would panic? I guess they would, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, I think people can panic and maybe would panic. But I mean, if they have technology to fly to other worlds and technology to make equipment and design things to where the rich and powerful people can control that, then they're the ones making the money, not people. And there's a lot of technology that I don't blame them for hiding it from people, because
it's classified.
It's very dangerous. I mean, how would it be if some guy had a little ray gun that he could put in his pocket, and it had all this energy and ability, and he drove down the road whacking cars? I mean,
or people.
Yeah. Well, if you whack the car, the people are in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is just an example. And right at this point in the world, they're having enough problems controlling disasters where people lose it and they get a gun and shoot up a mall or do whatever. But that's mental illnesses, or it is programmed minds to do something with guns bad enough that everybody will say, well, we need to ban guns. We need to take guns away. Well, we need to ban idiots and retards from having them, because guns never kill anybody. The people behind them do. And guns is the only thing that is defending freedom right now. And if you took guns away, I think that alien or otherwise could walk in here and take us over and say, walk down here. We've got these holes already drilled in the mountain. And get in your chains and go down there. And that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. And the friend of mine who was one of the heads of the NRA told me that when you make guns illegal, only those who operate illegal will have guns.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, it's kind of fun to shoot certain ways for sport, like shooting clay pigeons and targets and
right. And
all that stuff.
Well, and it's good for your own defense. I mean, I'm a proponent in guns. I think, you know, if you own a gun and you know how to handle it and take care of it, you're making yourself and your family a little more safer.
Right, because you don't know who's going to load up on some crazy drugs or be desperate and break into your house and do all that. But there's a few police officers out there running around that need to learn a little safety and respect, because there's been a lot of murder by badge going on. And when they investigate their own shootings, they always come out smelling like roses. And to shoot somebody, I think there should be a super, super reason before it happens.
Well, that's true. I mean, they've always said if you have to pull a gun in defense, you darn better make sure.
Make sure you know how to use it.
Yep, absolutely. Ed, we're going to take phone calls with you when we come back. Give you an opportunity to talk with Ed Grimsley, UFO Wars. He believes something's going on up there. Well, I believe also that something is happening. I witnessed it myself. Just who and what, I do not know. We'll take your phone calls with Ed Grimsley next on Coast to Coast AM.